Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Nun. We left off Memtes Amid Beis, about four or five lines before the lines get wide. Amar Abaya is the second to last word on the line. That's where we are. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LeHashalom. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. So yesterday we were working through that Mishnah that began the fifth parak of Meseches Gittin, talking about the various levels of property that certain debts have to be satisfied with. And we said that the level of property that you're going to have to pay depends on, is it a case of Nezikin? Is it a case of a regular Balchob? Is it a case of Ksuvas Isha? We were seeing a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether when we say that Nezakin is Shaman Lem Be'idis, whose Edis is it? Whose best property is it? Is it the best property of the Nizik? Is it the best property of the Mazik? We saw reasons, and ultimately we wound up saying in the Gemara that it was actually a Din D'Oraisa, but we were seeing reasons for the Dinim D'Oraisa as to the fact that the Nizik gets paid with Edis, and the Balchov gets paid with Veinanis, and the Ksuvas Isha gets paid with Ziburis. And then what we were trying to do yesterday when we left off, and what we're going to continue with the discussion of today, is when we talk about Ksuvas Isha, that the woman collects her Ksuva, so the woman collects her Ksuva in two scenarios. She collects her Ksuva in the case of divorce or in the case of death of the first husband. So we were trying to figure out who exactly is the woman collecting the Ksuva from, that we say that she gets only Ziboris, that she gets only the worst level of property. Because if she's collecting from the Yesomim, then Yesomim always pay every debt with Ziboris. So that's not such a chiddush that the woman would collect her ksuva from Ziboris. So we were trying to figure out whether she collects the ksuva from the husband or whether it's from Yesomim, and therefore whether the fact that she collects from Ziboris is either a bigger or a lesser chiddush. There is also a shita who says the ksuvas isha is paid not from Ziboris, but from Beinanis. So if the Ksuvas Isha is paid from the Beinanis, we're going to have to work out how exactly that could be if she, in fact, is paid by the Yesomim. Because generally, the Yesomim only pay with Ziburis, not with Beinanis. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what happens if you are not the primary obligor, but if you are an Orev, if you're a guarantor of certain of these Chovos, and then the Balchov comes to you to collect the amount that somebody else owes him, you're only the guarantor. What type of property do you have to pay with? Do you have to pay with a level of property that he would have paid with? Is there some other level of property that you would have to pay? What if you're a type of super guarantor called a Kablan? We'll explain the difference between an Arev and a Kablan, and then we're going to talk a lot about the Yesomim and their obligation to pay back loans, and the fact that it can only be from Ziboris, and that's going to be the primary focus of Nun Amud Aleph turning over to Nun Amud Beis. And then we're going to talk about the concept of when these obligations are paid, the fact that they're paid first from unencumbered property that the obligor has, and then only after all of his unencumbered property is exhausted, then you start paying from encumbered property. So what's encumbered property? Encumbered property is property that he already sold, property that he once owned and which he already sold. So if a person has owned money from Reuven, and he comes to collect from Reuven, so really, at first, he gets to collect from whatever property Reuven currently has. Let's say Reuven currently doesn't have any property, because when Shimon comes to collect from Reuven, Reuven already sold all his property to Levi. So then the question is, who exactly does he get to collect from? Who exactly does Shimon get to collect from? Because let's talk about a situation where he sold his property to multiple people. Or if he gave his property away to multiple people, how exactly do we work out who does the Balchov collect from, and what do all those people do in order to true up whatever they got from Reuven if ultimately a Balchov collects from one of them? So a little bit of math in this sugya at the end, which is not my strong suit, but it's simple math, hopefully. So we'll make our way through it. So again, we left off Memtes Amud Beis about five lines from where the lines got wide. Amar Abaye, and we are talking about the obligation to pay Ksuvas Isha, and the Ksuvas Isha is paid from Ziboris, and we had said that the reason that the Ksuvas Isha is paid from Ziboris is we don't need to incentivize a woman to get married by saying, oh, if this marriage terminates, you're going to get paid from better property, because we had said that more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So unlike by a balchov, unlike by a lender and a borrower situation, we had to tell the lender that he would get paid from Beinonis, because otherwise he would never lend money to the borrower. By the Ksuvas Isha, we didn't have to incentivize her in that respect. So Amar Abaya, says Abaya, five lines up from where the lines get wide. Tashma, Hanizakin Shaman Len Beidis, the Nizakin gets paid with Edis, Ubalchob Beinonis, Ubalchob with Beinonis, Ksuvas Isha Beziboris, and Ksuvas Isha gets paid with Ziboris. So Miman, so who does the woman collecting her Ksuva from? Elam Miyasmi, if she's collecting the Ksuva from the Yasomim, so my Ari Ksuvas Isha, Afilu Kolhani Nami. Anything that's collected from Yasomim gets paid with Ziboris, meaning it doesn't matter whether the person who's collecting from the Yasomim is collecting on account of a Ksuva, or collecting on account of a Chob, or even collecting on account because the father of the Yasomim damaged that person. The fact that he's entitled to Idis is only when he's getting paid by the Mazik, not when he's getting paid by the Mazik Sisomim, because when he's getting paid by the Mazik Sisomim, he is only going to get Ziboris under every circumstance. So who is the woman getting paid from in respect of her Ksuva that we say that she gets paid from Ziboris? So Elalav Minei. So isn't it obviously it's him? He has to pay the Ksuva Zisha from the Ziboris, and the Chiddush is that even though the woman is collecting directly from her husband, she gets paid with Ziboris. Summer of Achabar Yaakov, Achabar Mayaskin, and Kagon Shenase Orev, Leniske, Bal Leniske, Beno, Lebal Chov, Beno, Uluksuvas Kaloso. No, over here we're talking about a situation where the guy made himself an Orev, the guy made himself a guarantor to pay, the Nezikin of his son, or the Balchov of his son, or the Ksuva of his daughter-in-law. In other words, the guy gets married to a woman, and the woman says to the guy, you know what, I don't necessarily trust you that you're going to be good for the Ksuva obligation, so I want your father, in other words, I want the woman saying, I want my father-in-law to guarantee the obligation of my Ksuva. And what we're talking about is then the husband dies, so in other words, the guarantor's son, the husband of the woman, dies. And now she comes to the father of the husband, to her father-in-law, to collect her ksuva. And says the Meiri, say the Mefarshim, that we're obviously talking about a situation where the son didn't leave any nechasim to his own children to inherit. Because if the son had grown children of his own, and if the son left possessions of his own to his grown children for them to inherit, then she would have to collect from the Yesomim of her husband. She would have to collect from her children or from her husband's children, and not from the guarantor, i.e. her father-in-law. And over here, there is no machlokes between Marzutra and the Chachamim. Marzutra was the one who said that the Ksuvas Isha gets paid with Beinonis, not with Ziboris. It's the Chachamim, it's the prevailing Shita in our Mishnah, which said that the Ksuvas Isha gets paid with Ziboris, because the only time the Machlokas, Marzutra, and the Chachamim apply is when the woman comes to collect the Ksuva from the husband himself. Over here, where the woman is collecting the Ksuva from the husband's guarantor, i.e. from her father-in-law, there is no Machlokas. He's only going to get paid from Ziboris. Why? Explains the Gemara as follows. V'haiki dine. And each of these dinim makes sense, because we apply what they would have gotten paid for, what they would have gotten paid with, rather, had the person not died. So nizakin and balchov, the michayim gavu, so nizakin and balchov, where they usually collect when the person is alive, so yunami ki gavu michayim, ki michayim magvi. That she collects, the victim of the damage, or the balchov, or the lender, gets to collect the same way that he would if his counterpart were alive. And therefore, this brisa that we quoted said that a nizik gets paid with idis, a balchov gets paid with beinonis, and the ksuvas isha gets paid with ziboris. Because the nizik and the lender usually get repaid when the guy's still alive. When the guy is still alive, the nizik would have gotten idis, the balchov would have gotten beinonis, so that's what they get even after the guy dies. However, ksuvas isha delachar misa gavya, however, ksuvas isha, which is collected after the husband dies, Says Tosfos, it's lav davka after the husband dies. However, it is more rugil, it's more common that the ksuva is collected after the husband dies than it is after the couple gets divorced, because divorce in the time of the Gemara wasn't super common, even though we're learning Maseches Gittin, which is all about divorce. But ksuva, generally speaking, is collected la'achar misa, la'achar misa miman gavya miyasmi. And generally speaking, when a woman collects her ksuva, it's la'achar misa sabal, and therefore she's going to collect from the yesomim. So yunami ki magvi ki la'achar misa magvi. Therefore, this woman, even though she's not collecting from the yesomim, she's collecting from the arev, she's collecting from her father-in-law who guaranteed the ksuva obligation, because generally speaking, the woman would collect the ksuva from zibaris, so too this woman, even though she has a guarantor, will also collect the ksuva from Ziboris. Says the Gemara, why is this guarantor obligated to pay the ksuva obligation at all? But typically, the arev l'ksuva lo mishtabed. But the question is, why would the arev be mishabed himself to pay the ksuva at all? And the reason that he wouldn't have to pay the ksuva is because the fact that the guy guaranteed the ksuva obligation of his son to his daughter-in-law is really like an asmachta, meaning he never really took upon himself a full kinyan, a full legal obligation to pay the ksuva of his daughter-in-law, because he never expected that his son was going to predecease him. So he never really made up his mind. There was never a gemiras das to actually accept the obligation. And it's also, he doesn't really feel badly about not living up to his verbal obligation to pay the ksuva midin arev, because generally speaking, the reason that an arev accepts upon himself to pay the obligation is because it's on account of the fact that this arev is there, that somebody else put out money to someone. So in other words, let's say Reuben lends money to Shimon, but Reuben's not going to lend money to Shimon unless Shimon has a guarantor, Levi. So Levi knows that he better pay up on his guarantee obligation, because were it not for him, Reuben never would have loaned money to Shimon. But of a year where the father-in-law is guaranteeing the ksuva payment of his son, what are we going to say? She never would have done what? She never would have given up money had there not been a guarantee. She didn't give up any money. All she did was she got married, and now that the marriage is dissolved, she gets owed the ksuva. But it's not like a situation of a loan where somebody else extends themselves because of the guarantee of the arev, and therefore this arev is not going to really, in a bona fide way, obligate himself to pay the ksuva at all. So why are we talking about that he has to pay with ziboris? The question of the Gemara is, why does he have to pay altogether? Says the Gemara, bekavlan, because we're not talking about an arev, we're not talking about a regular guarantor, we're talking about a kablan. A kablan is a certain type of super guarantor, which in the language of the Gemara, in the framework of the Gemara, the way it works is that by an arev is really like a backstop. You first have to try to collect from the primary obligor, and then only after you try and you are unsuccessful in collecting from the primary obligor do you get to pursue the guarantor. The kablan is a guy who says, you don't even have to try to collect from the primary obligor. First, you come directly to me. In other words, even if he has assets, I'm still going to put myself on the hook. The other point about a kablan that the Gemara points out is that the kablan is somebody who actually tells the malveh, oh, lend money to this guy because I'm going to stand behind the obligation. As opposed to the arev, the guarantor is there guaranteeing the obligation, but he's not inciting the lender to loan money to the borrower. So the point is, when you have this guarantor who's a kablan, who is taking upon himself an extra measure of liability, that's the type of person who's going to obligate himself to pay for the ksuva obligation of his daughter-in-law. So says the Gemara, but hani chalaman diyamar kablan afal gavdol eslei nechzei lelove mishtabed shapir. That's good, according to the Man D'Amar, who says that the kablan takes upon himself this obligation, even if the lova doesn't have any nechasim. Ela l'man D'Amar eslei mishtabed eslei lo mishtabed ma'ikel meimar. But over here, but according to the Man D'Amar, who says that even a kablan will only accept upon himself that obligation if the obligor has assets to satisfy the liability. Because if the obligor lacks assets to satisfy the liability, even a kablan would never obligate himself where he knows for sure he's going to have to repay. And over here, he knew that the son didn't have any assets, so probably he didn't accept upon himself the full obligation to pay his daughter-in-law's ksuva. Says the Gemara, Iba Seima B'dahavilei Vishtadev. It could be that the son, when he got married to his wife, when he got married to the daughter-in-law of this Kablan, the son had assets. However, they were then damaged. And therefore, because the son had assets at the time that he entered into the marriage, the Kablan did, in a bona fide way, obligate himself to pay the ksuva obligation of his daughter-in-law. And also, says the Gemara, it could be that you're right. Ordinarily speaking, first of all, this guy didn't have assets when he got married. Ordinarily speaking, even a Kablan would never obligate himself under this situation. However, there's a regular Kablan, and there's a Kablan who's a father. So the father, who's a Kablan, would certainly obligate himself to pay the chobos of his son, even if the son doesn't have any assets. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Kablan is required to make a kinyan in order to be meshabed himself on account of the obligation of his son. The Rambam says that he does require a kinyan, because in general, an arev doesn't make a kinyan, but a kablan does make a kinyan. But the Ravid says that over here he doesn't have to make a kinyan because his connection to the primary obligor is so strong that he's automatically going to be meshabed himself even without any kinyan. Says the Gemara, Viter. Now, again, on the topic of Arev. So, last line, Amem Tes, Amem Beis. So, Itmar, Arev Dixuva, Divriya Kol Lo Meshtabed. A regular Arev, a regular guarantor, and Dixuva, is definitely not going to be Meshabed. Why? Because the woman doesn't lose anything by entering into the marriage. It's not like there's an obligation that is incurred because the woman spent something, the woman laid money out. The woman didn't lay any money out. This is just an obligation that has to be paid when the marriage dissolves. So the woman is not lacking anything because she got married. And also the Rashbam explains that the Arev is really only, adding to the chorus of voices, which is encouraging her to get married. But it's not like the Arev is single-handedly making her enter this transaction of marriage, because everybody is telling her that she needs to get married, and she knows she needs to get married. So it's not like she's acting at the direction of the Arev. So an Arev and a ksuv obligation, everybody agrees that there is no Shiva. Turning to Nunamad Aleph, Kablan de Balchov Divriya Kol Meshaved. Now, a Kablan, if you have the super guarantor of a regular loan, then of course he's going to be Meshaved himself, because not only did he take upon himself this super level of guarantee where he agreed to pay even if the primary obligor doesn't have any money, he also convinced the lender to loan money to the borrower. So certainly he's got to take upon himself the obligation to pay. Arev de Balchov, a Kablan de Ksuva, pligi. However, there's a machlokas by a regular Arev of a Balchov or by a super guarantor of a Ksuva. Ikalaman de Amar, Afagav de Lesle, Nixle de Love, Meshtabe. There is one man de Amar who says that even though the Love doesn't have any Nechasim, still the guarantor is going to accept upon himself the obligation to repay the Chov. Ikalaman de Amar, Yisle, Meshtabe, de Lesle, no Meshtabe. And others say no. The only time that this obligation is going to be assumed is where the underlying obligor has assets, but where the underlying obligor has no assets, in the case of a Kablan of Iksuva or an Arev of Balachov, the guarantor will never take upon himself the obligation to repay. And the halacha is, by all of these situations, even though the underlying obligor doesn't have assets, the guarantor still incurs the liability. He still takes upon himself the obligation to pay. Bar may Arev Iksuva, except for the weakest one, which is an Arev of Iksuva. An Arev is a regular guarantor of the ksuva, where the woman doesn't put out any money when she enters into the marriage, and the Arev isn't doing that much convincing, and therefore, di lesle lo meshtabed. My daima mitzvah de kavid. So, if the husband doesn't have any assets, then the Arev is not going to be meshabed himself to the ksuva obligation. Why not? Because he figures all he's doing is a mitzvah by convincing the woman to marry her husband, and he's therefore convincing her to put themselves in a situation where they can perform the mitzvah pru-ravu, raise a Jewish family. She is not expending any money by going into the marriage. V'lomidi chasra, she's not lacking anything. And therefore, it's unlike a situation of a balchov, where the balchov is actually, the lender is actually putting himself out. The lender is actually losing money. He's putting money at risk on the word of the Arev, and because he knows, because the Arev knows that the lender is spending money, he's putting money at risk at his word, he's going to be Gomer Meshabed Nafshe. He's going to be Meshabed himself. But over here by the woman, where the woman's not putting anything out, she's not losing any money, she's not incurring an obligation, this whole psychology of Gomer Meshabed Nafshe, that Bahi Anah, with that Anah, that he knows that the person's incurring an obligation on his word, he's being Meshabed himself, that doesn't exist by an Arev and a Ksuvas Isha. Amar Ravina, says Ravina, Tashma, Meikara de Takina and Yosem Mimasha Ish Rotzalisa Isha Rotzalinase. At first, they said that more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. Visal Kadaitach, and that was the rationale for why we said that the Ksuvas Isha is paid with Ziboris. Because we said that we didn't have to pay the Ksuvas Isha with Beinanis in order to incentivize the woman to get married, because the woman doesn't need an incentive to get married anyway. She's going to want to get married. But says the Gemara, Visal Kadaitach Meyasmi, Haimishum Diyasmihu. The reason that if what we're talking about is a woman who collects her ksuva, we're back to now the first idea that we started with, the topic that we started with, Adaf, is who's the woman collecting from? Is she collecting from the Yasomim, or is she collecting from the husband? So the reason for the ksuva obligation with Ziboris that we saw in the Braisa that we cited yesterday is because we don't have to incentivize the woman to get married anyway. If the point is that she's collecting from the Yasomim, then the reason she collects from Ziboris has nothing to do with the psychology of the woman when she enters into the marriage. It has everything to do with the fact that she is collecting from Yisomim, and anybody who collects from Yisomim only collects from Ziboris. So Elamai doesn't mean that she's collecting from the husband himself, and that nevertheless she collects only from Ziboris because we don't have to incentivize her to get married by telling her that we're going to pay her in Beinanis. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Marzutra, Tiyufta. Yes, that's a Tiyufta to Marzutra. Marzutra is the Shita who said that the Ksuvas Isha is Beinanis. This is a Raya, the Ksuvas Isha with Ziboris, even if she's collecting from the husband herself. Says the Gemara, Navaiter at the two dots. Amar Marzutra, Berid Rav Nachman, Shmeid Rav Nachman. Shtarchov, Ayotse Ali Yisomim. If a Shtarchov is presented against Yisomim, Afalpi Shekosov Bo Shvach, even though it says Shvach in the Shtar, meaning that he made a tnai with the malve, the borrower made a tnai with the lender, that the lender was going to be able to collect even from the Shevach Karkos, even from the Edis. And now this obligation is presented to the Yisomim because the malve, because the love, is because the love died. So even though they wrote into the shtar that the malve was going to be able to collect from Edis, in a gova elam iziboris. Now because the malve is not collecting from the guy who made the tanai that he would be able to collect from Edis, he's collecting from his children, he's collecting from his Yisomim, therefore he's only going to collect ziboris. Samar Abaya teida de balchov dina bebeninis. So you should know that a balchov, his din is with beninis, meikarai din, that's the reason that we saw yesterday, kadesh lo'sinol delas bifnei lavin, so that to incentivize people to loan money, they should know that they could collect from beninis, or meyas maybe ziboris. However, from yisomim, they collect only from ziboris. Samar le rava hachi hashta, but is that a raya balchov dine midaraisa biziboris kedeula? A balchov, meikarai din, gets paid with ziboris like ula. The Amar Ula Dvar Torah Balchov Ziboris. Really, the Ikar Adin is that a Balchov gets paid only from Ziborish. And Amar Bachutz Tamod Voish. It says Bachutz Tamod, and then it says Voish Asher Asher Noshe Bo Yotzi Elecha Savotachutza. He brings out in order to repay. Sama Darko Shel Ish Lahotzi Pachos Shabekalim. Just like a person is going to bring out the pachos shebekalim. Rashi says that if a person comes to collect from somebody else, if Shimon comes to collect from Reuven, then Reuven is never going to voluntarily pay Shimon with his best property, right? He's going to pay him only with his worst property. Umatam amru balchov bebeninis. Why did the Chachamim say, or really what we saw yesterday, the Girsa of the Rif and the Rush, was, b'mnei ma amra Torah balchov bebeninis? Why is the halacha that a balchov in fact gets paid with beninis? Kadesh lo sinol delos bifnei lavin. It's to make sure that lenders continue to want to loan money to borrowers, because if they know that they're going to get paid only from the most inferior property, we're afraid that they're not going to freely lend money. Therefore, in order to incentivize to freely lend money, we tell them that they're going to get paid with beninis. The Gabay Yasmi, however, by Yisomim, when the Balchov is collecting from the Yisomim, Ukmi Rabbanan Adaraisa, the Rabbanan reverted to the Dindaraisa. In other words, the Dindaraisa is that really the Balchov should have gotten paid with Ziboris. So when the Balchov is collecting from Yesomim, not from his counterpart, he collects only from Ziboris, consistent with the Din Daraisa. Elohacha, but over here, Kivan the Din Midaraisa, but over here, the Din is with Midaraisa, because the Lova said that he's going to pay back with Edis. So over here, why does the Malva only get the Beninis? Why does the Malva only get the Ziboris, rather? He should also be able to collect from Yesomim, from the Edis, because the Shibud Midaraisa was against the Edis. Says the Gemara, Ula Rava, Vatani Avram Chaza, but according to Rava, we saw that Avram Chaza said, Einifram Menichte Yisomim Elam and Ziburis, that you only collect Ziburis from Yisomim, Vafilu Ein Nizakin, even if the guy who's coming to collect from the Yisomim was a Nizak who was damaged by the father of the Yisomim. Now, what do we know about Nizik? The Nizik gets paid with Edis on a Daraisa level. But we just said that if the Nizik comes to collect from Yesomim, he only gets Ziboris. So here we have a guy, even though Midaraisa, he should get paid with Edis, because he's collecting from Yesomim, he's going to get Ziboris. Von Nizikin, Dina Midaraisa be Edis. So that Nizikin, Dina Midaraisa is with Edis. And therefore, but we still say that he collects from Ziboris. So also over here, there was no raya that just because Midaraisa, he was meshabbing himself with Edis, the Yesomim should pay with Ziboris. This Yesomim should also pay with Edis. No, the Yesomim get to pay with Ziboris all the time. Says the Gemara, Hakav Mayaskinan Kagon Shahisa Edis, Deniza Kiziboris Damazik. No. By the case of the Yesomim who are paying the Hezek of their father, the reason that it says that they get paid from Ziboris is because we're talking where the Edis of the Nizak is like the Ziboris of the Mazik. Rabbi Yishmael, and this is the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, Damar Midaraisa B'Denizak Shaiminan, that ordinarily speaking, we assess based on the status of the property of the Nizik. Because of Tikkun HaOlam, we say that not only does the Mazik have to pay corresponding to the Nizik's best property, he's got to pay corresponding to his own best property. The Gabayasmi Ukma Rabbanan Adaraisa. Ah, and by Yesomim, what the Rabbanan say is that we're going to revert to the Din Daraisa, meaning the Yesomim pay Edis, but they pay Edis only of the Nizik. And they get to pay the Edis of the Nizik even if their Edis is worth much more. So in our Braisa, when we say that the Yesomim pay Ziboris, it doesn't really mean that they pay Ziboris. It means that they pay with their Ziboris, which corresponds to the Edis of the guy who's getting the payment. It says the Gemara, Eini Valtani Revelezer Niusa, Ain't it from Nixi Yisomim Elam and Iziboris? Vafilu ain't Edis. It says that they only get to collect from the Yisomim Ziboris, even if it's Edis. What does it mean? Afilu ain't Edis. Maya Afilu ain't Edis. Lav Afal Gav Dixiv Edis Peshtara. Doesn't it mean that even if you wrote Edis in the Shtar, meaning Midaraisa, you accepted upon yourself to pay back with Edis, if the debt is paid by the Yisomim only have to pay with Ziboris? Says the Gemara, lo, my Edis, shafoi Edis. Edis means Edis that became uncollectible. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says it's Edis that became uncollectible. And Edis is we're going to see in Machlokas Rashi Tosfos what exactly that is. So, Kedarava, to Amar Rava, Hezek Ziboris, if you are Mazik Ziboris, govim in a Edis, you collect from Edis. Shafoi Edis, if you are Mazik, Shafoi Edis, govem in a Beninis. Then you get to collect from Beninis. What's Shafoi Edis? So the way Rashi explains it is that if the Edis went away, because it says if you damage Ziboris, you get to collect from Edis, because Hanizakin Shaman Lahen be Edis, that's like the halacha we learn in the Mishnah. However, what happens if Shafoi Edis, what happens if the Mazik no longer has Edis, then the Gemara says, govim in a Beninis. Then you get knocked down one wrong and you only get collect from the Beninis. V'gabayasmi uk Rabbanan Adaraisa. And by Yesomim, the Rabbanan said that we're going to revert to the Din Daraisa, the Din Daraisa being that you get paid only with Ziboris. So the way we explain Shafoi Edis means that you used to have good property and then that good property became uncollectible. It went away. That's the way Rashi interprets it. Tosfos has a whole different interpretation. We're not going to have time to get into it. But he says that Shafoi Yidis is not this like exceptional property that then became uncollectible, which is what Rashi appears to say. Shafoi Yidis are properties on the perimeter of Yidis. They're called properties on the perimeter of Yidis. They're on the perimeter of the water which surrounds the property. And therefore, because the water is right next to the property is often flood. And even though the property is on the perimeter of exceptional property, that portion of the property itself is very inferior. It's even worse than Ziboris because it's very prone to flooding. Okay, so that's the Gemara Navaiter, two dots towards the bottom. Ain't it from Nixi Yisomim Elamani Ziboris, that we only collect from Ziboris when it's from Yisomim. Zaboy Ravachadvoy Bar Ami, Yisomim Shamru, Katanimo Afilu Gedolim. These Yisomim, who we say only pay with Ziboris, does that mean only minors or does that mean even adults? Takanti David Rabbanon Gabi Yasmi Liktanim Avid Rabbanon Ligdolim Lo Avid. Is it a special takana that the Chachamim made for Yisomim, and they only made the takana for minor Yisomim, but not for adult Yisomim? Oduma Misham Delo Masik Adaiti Demalve Demislove Venafli Nichsli Kami Yasmi Davli Nol Deles Hilka Chafilu Gedolim Nami. Or the whole reason that we said that when you collect from a Balkov, you got to pay with Bainanis is because of Sino Delos from Neiloven, in order to incentivize a Malve to continue loaning money to a Love. But we don't have to tell him that he'll get paid with Bainanis if his obligor dies, because nobody expects when he lends money to somebody else that the borrower is going to drop dead. So therefore, we can say that the Malve, you need to collect only from the Ziboris of the Yisomim, and he's still going to loan the money to the Malve, to the Lover, rather, because he assumes that the Lover is going to be alive when he gets paid back. And therefore, the Yisomim who get to pay from the Ziboris, not only minors, but also adults. Tashma, the Tani Abaya Kshisha, Yisomim Shamru Gedolim Ein Tzarech Lomar Ketanim. The Yisomim who get to pay with Ziboris is even Gedolim and not Ketanim. V'dilma Hani Mili Linen Shvua. No, maybe that's only by a Shvua that we say that Yisomim don't have to take a Shvua, because the Gadol B'Mili Davua Kekatan Dami. Because even an adult Yisom still is not very familiar with the affairs of his father, and therefore Legabe taking a Shvua on the affairs of his father, he is like a Katan, he's like a minor, because just like a kid doesn't know what's flying with the assets of his father, so too this Yisom, even though he's a Gadol, doesn't know what's flying with the assets of his father. However, Avalinin Ziboris Lo, but I might think Linin Ziboris, it was a Takana that they made only for the Ketanim and not for the Gedolim. The Hilkasa, flipping over to Nunim Abez, Yisomim Shamru Gedolim, Vein Sorach Lomar Ketanim, Bein L'Shvua, Bein L'Ziboris. Both legabe the halacha of shvua, that the Yisomim don't have to take a shvua, and the halacha legabe ziboris, that Yisomim get to pay with ziboris, it applies even to adult Yisomim, not only to minor Yisomim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, two dots, second line down on Nunim Abayz. Ein Ephraim minachasim mishubadim b'makam sheyesh b'nei chorin. Now, we don't collect from nechasim mishubadim, which are properties that the obligor had but no longer are in his possession because he already sold them. We don't collect from nechasim mishubadim in a time where there are nechasim b'nei chorin, where there are unencumbered properties that the obligor is currently in possession of. And that applies even if the unencumbered properties that the guy is currently in possession of are inferior properties. And even if he had superior properties, which he wound up selling, we can't collect from the prior buyers of his superior properties if there are unencumbered properties, even if the quality of those unencumbered properties is not that great. So, boy, Rav Achadvoy Bar Ami, b'matana heyech. What if the guy gave away the property as a matana? In other words, when we talk about nechasim mishubadim, generally in Shas, what we mean is that the obligor doesn't have any assets because he already sold all of his property to somebody else. So you're not going to go collect from the lokeach because if this guy has unencumbered properties. Let's say he has no other liquid assets, but the reason he has no unencumbered assets is because he gave away all of his properties in a matana. He didn't sell them, but he gave them away as a gift, leaving only inferior property. So the question is, does the Baal Chov get to collect only from the inferior property, which is unencumbered, or can he go after the Beinonis property that was given away as a gift as a gift previously. So says the Gemara, Satakantu David Rabbanu Mishum Seda the Lekuchos, Aval Matana Lekab Seda the Lekuchos Lo. So what's the reason that we don't collect from the Chosim Mishabadim? It's Xera because of Seda the Lekuchos. We don't want the Lekuchos to be shortchanged. We don't want the buyers of property to have the property collected from them. But that takana makes sense. It applies only legabe lekuchos. It doesn't make sense legabe somebody who took a gift from the obligor. Odilma mataninami id lav de lesle anamine lo yavle b'matana. Or maybe we should extend this takana to pseida, to the Makabale Matana. Why? Because we figure, had the guy who received the present not done something really nice for the obligor never would have given the guy a gift. So if we're going to make a gzera, pseida to the lekuchos, we don't want to shortchange the lekuchos who paid good value for this property. We should assume nobody gets anything for free. We should assume that the Makabale Matana also expended money in order to get the gift. He did a favor to the guy in order to get the gift. Vilka keep say the lekuchos dummy, and therefore it's like say the lekuchos. Some are markshisha bereid Rav Chista. So send markshisha bereid Rav Chista to Ravashi. It happens to be there's a machlokas whether this Rav Chista had two sons by the same name. And one of them was called Markshisha, and there's a machlokas whether this was the older one, the older of the two sons, Kshisha means old, or whether it was the younger of the two sons, and he was called Markshisha because he was born when Rav Chista was older. But either way, Rav Chista had two sons of the same name, and Markshisha raised Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, Tashma, Shchiv Meira Sha'amar Tnu Masayim Zuz Laploni. If a Shchiv Meira says, give 200 Zuz to Reuven, the Gimel Meis Laploni, and 300 to Shimon, the Dala Meis Laploni, and 400 to Levi, Ein Omrim Kol HaKodem B'Shtar Zacha. If somebody then comes to collect from the Baal Chov, we don't say, oh, whoever was listed first in the Shtar is safe, because we're going to send the Baal Chov only to the last guy listed. We're going to send the Baal Chov only to Levi. Lefichach, therefore, Yotza Lov Shtar Chov, if a Shtar Chov is presented against the obligor, against the giver of all these gifts, Gova Mikulon, he gets to collect from all of them. He gets to collect from all of them, says Rashi, not necessarily, he doesn't have to go collect from all of them, but he collects from whomever, and then they basically have to true up all their obligations. So let's say he gave 200 to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, and 400 to Levi. If somebody comes and collects $100, they each pay, and then Levi will get back four shares, and Shimon will get back three shares, and Reuven will get back two shares. In other words, they true up, they do the math so that the money is collected, and then they all divide so that they get the amount that they would have gotten originally. So Aval Imamar Tnuma Saimzos Laploni, Va'achrav Laploni, Va'achrav Laploni. However, if he says first give 200 to Reuven, then give 300 to Shimon, then give 400 to Levi, Omrim Kola Kodem Mishtar Zacha, Lafichach Yatza Lafshtar Chov, Govim Min Achron. So, and therefore, obviously he intended that Reuven get to collect everything before Shimon, and that Shimon gets to collect everything before Levi. And therefore, if a Baal Chov comes and wants to collect from these guys, first he's going to have to collect from Levi, and then Ein Lo Gova Mishalafanav, Ein Lo Gova Mishalafnefanav. And if the guy doesn't, and if the second guy doesn't have anything, then he goes to collect from the first guy. But he can't take from whoever he wants, and there is no true up required among the three. There's no pro rata assumption of this obligation, because it wasn't give 100 to Reuven, give 200 to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, and 400 to Levi. It was give 200 to Reuven, and after that give 300 to Levi, and after that give 400 to Levi rather. So the Afalgav the Kama Beninis, Ubasra Ziburis, Mi Ziburis Govi, Mi Beninis Logovi. Even though the last guy, the guy who the Baal Chov has to collect from, only has Ziburis, and not Beninis, he collects only from Ziburis and not from Beninis. Shmamina b'matana nami of the Rabbanan Takanta. So over here we see that the Rabbanan also made the Takana by Mekabele Matana. Because if the only thing that's unencumbered is Ziburis, we said that the guy has to get Ziburis. And then the Baal Chov goes to the last guy in line. And if the last guy in line has only inferior property, we make him collect from the inferior property. We don't allow him to collect from the second guy in line, even though his property is better. Says the Gemara, Achav Mayaskinim b'Baal Chov. Now over there, we're not talking about a Matana. We're talking about where they were all Baal Chov. Vatnu Kamar. But he didn't say, oh, repay all my obligations. He said, give gifts Tnu b'chovi. No, it says tnu b'chovi. In other words, give them money because I owe them money, is what he's saying. V'lichse shtar deman kadim. But why don't we see whose shtar came first? And whoever shtar came first, that's who's going to be protected. Says the Gemara, it's like a shtar, because there is no shtar. There was a mal v'alchov. V'kolakodim b'shtar kamar. But we said whoever came first in the shtar, that's who's protected. And whoever came last in the shtar, that's who's going to be exposed. That's whose assets are going to be at risk. B'shtar p'kadita, that's talking about the tzava. But the reason that he paid all this money in his tzava is because he owed these guys the money. V'ibasema filo matana nami. No, maybe he gave it away as a matana. V'lo kasha, and there's no kasha, then in other words, there's no raya whether we're going to make the takana of pseida de lekuchos that you have to collect from only b'nei choron and not mishubadim. My govim and achron ein nifsad ela achron. It means that ein nifsad, it means that ein nifsad ela achron, that only the last guy is going to lose out. Or we say that we're not talking about a situation where one of them has ziboras, one of them has beninis. So there's no raya that when there's unencumbered, you only get to collect from the ziboras, even if the encumbered is beninis, because we might be talking about where each of these guys got property of the same value, and therefore they just collect from whoever they want because they are all equally situated. All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick up the two dots, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.